Steve. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. 2 Samuel, chapter 22. And we continue our study of the heartbeats, the life of David. I'm just going to read a few verses, beginning in verse 1. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of the enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word and that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us, Father, closer to Jesus in this hour. Thank you for this time to be in your house. Touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage of Scripture is coming closer to the end of David's life. He's getting a little older. In fact, he's getting close to his last days. Now, he's not that old as we would count years. He's 70 years old, or he's getting to be 70 years old. He dies at 70. We have many people who have reached that milestone of being 70. We have many people who've gone beyond 70. You know, today's world, 70 just doesn't seem that old. Now, I understand at one point it seemed ancient, but the older you get, the younger it gets. And so, so 70 is kind of the new 50, and if you're getting close to 70, you just hold on to that. But in David's case, not so much. In David's case, he's had a tough life. In David's case, all the time in the caves, the time running through the deserts, the time of fighting battles has caught up to him. And at 70, he is close to his last moments. David started out as a shepherd. Now, while he was tending sheep, he had a sideline. He liked to write songs, and so he would play his instrument. He would sing for the sheep. And I guess none of the songs were too bad. But anyway, he would go through this process, and he developed a gift. And it was that gift that would endear him to Saul. Because you'll remember in his singing, he was brought in for Saul to kind of calm Saul down, to kind of ease Saul's spirit. God would use David to write Scripture. One of the reasons people love the Psalms is one of the same reasons that people love music. Music has the ability to touch you at your heart's emotions. Wherever you are, you know, if you're sad, if you're glad, if you're mad, there is a song to fit you. If you want to kill somebody, there's a country song, you know. And, there are all kinds of songs, and they fit you wherever you are. So when David wrote, He wrote the Psalms in a way that the God through the Psalms hit us at every emotion we have. This passage is the passage that many call David's song. Now, we know David wrote many songs. We see his writing throughout the Psalms, but this one in particular is David's Psalm. It's found two places in the Bible. It's found here, and also it's found in the book of Psalms in chapter 18. David said that he wrote this psalm at a particular time. In verse 1 it says, "And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." So this shows up in 2 Samuel near the end of David's life. And yet that's not when it was written. it was most likely written right after he took the throne, right after Saul and Jonathan died. Today, many of David's psalms are used in worship to bless and encourage us, to lift us up. And what a great thing it is sometimes just to go to the Psalms and read there something that comforts our heart. This psalm was used to comfort David's heart. This psalm was his worship psalm. This is one that he would use again and again and again as he would come before the Lord. This psalm tells us who God is and what God can do in a life that will just turn to him, a life that's willing to have a heartbeat with God's. And so in this passage, we see God's revelation in verse 2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. You save me." David pauses after God has delivered him from great conflicts, the constant attacks of Saul over 10 years of being pursued. The Philistines come in force, and David had had victories. And so now he just praises God. He praises God for all the ways that God has revealed himself to him. Listen, if you are a believer today, you know Jesus as your Savior. Have you ever stopped just to thank God for how God has revealed himself to you? See, God is doing stuff all the time, but most of the world doesn't key into the fact that God's at work. Most of the world doesn't consider God. But we should spend time praising God. We should spend time worshiping God. And if we'll spend time praising God and worshiping God, we're going to be amazed at everything God has done for us. Listen, if you're breathing in and breathing out, God's doing something for you. If you have the ability to go through a day, God has blessed you. Some of you have difficulty sleeping at night, and you understand the preciousness of sleep. If you can sleep, that's a blessing. If you can wake, that's a blessing. God is working at all times for our benefit. We should spend some time thanking him. Try this. Try a day, one day, from the time you get up to the time you go to sleep, every time you think of something God has done for you, you just stop and thank God for it. For one day. In that one day, you don't ask God for anything. In that one day, you don't ask God to intercede, you don't ask God to move, you don't ask God to change things, you don't ask God to get you out of any trouble. In that one day, you just thank him. Let me tell you, God will bless you. God inhabits praise. Now, certainly he wants you to give him your heart, he wants you to share your needs with him, he wants you to do all those things. But could you give one day to thanking God? One day to just putting him first, one day to praising him. Look at how God is revealed in this song. David says, "He's my rock." This means God is the foundation. He is the foundation for everything we can do in life. God alone is the one who is unmovable, unshakable. He is the one that we can build upon. In David's world of sand and desert, it was important to dig down to bedrock. You didn't want to just build on the shifting sands because the sands would shift and your building would fall. You wanted to get a solid surface. The sand couldn't be trusted. Oh, but you could build on the rock. You can trust Jesus. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is never going to let you down. He is never going to crumble. He is always going to be there. He is always going to be willing to love you. He's always going to be willing to forgive you. He is always going to be willing to lift you up. So David says, "He's my rock, my fortress." Where a rock is a place for one's salvation to be built upon, a fortress is a place of defense. The fortress is a place to keep out all of that that would harm you. Now, Jerusalem, like many cities of its day, was a walled city. It had wide walls all the way around it. It still has walls around the old town in Jerusalem today. Those walls were to keep the enemies out. Those walls were there for protection. Now, there's something important. If you have a city and it's a walled city and those walls are there to be your fortress, there's something that is very important if it's going to work. You got to be in the city. If you're outside the walls, it won't do you any good at all. With God, let me tell you, you've got to be in God's family. You've got to have a personal relationship with Almighty God if God being your fortress is going to mean anything at all. He's not only our fortress, he says he's my deliverer. In verse 2, he is not only the rock and fortress, God is the one who delivers us away from harm. Now, a fortress keeps the evil out, and that's very important. But a deliverer is one who can snatch you away from danger. It's the picture of a parent snatching a child away from something that was going to harm them. It's a mother's snatching a child away when they're fixing to touch a hot stove. It's the dad grabbing his child up before they run out into traffic from the speeding cars. We have a God who's willing to be our deliverer, who's willing to pick us up from harm and bring us to safety. He's my shield. In the early battle, a shield was very important. A shield was mobile. It was something for defense, and you would have something in one hand for offense. Now, it's important to have something that's mobile for defense because sometimes people try to hit you in different places. And so you can just kind of move the shield around wherever the blow was coming. It stood between the soldier and coming injury and certain death. The shield caught the blows that were meant for you. Our Lord Jesus is our shield. He stood between us and the penalty of sin and the difficulty of hell. Jesus was willing to take the blows that the sin were going to bring to our life and take them all to Calvary. The horn of my salvation. Now, we have hunters among us, and hunters out for trophies bring home, racks of horns. Those horns are there for protection. They're there for defense and offense. As the horn of my salvation, God allows us to push through anything that would get in our way as far as moving toward the victory of our salvation. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, there is absolutely nothing that can stop you from getting to heaven. He is the horn of our salvation. He moves us through. And so with Jesus in front of us, we will move through the difficulties that face us. We will move through death itself, and we will move through the gates of heaven. What a blessing to know that he is the horn of our salvation. This scripture proclaims that he is going to care for our life all the way through our life. My high tower. A tower is the high ground. If you can imagine the castle structure, castles normally have towers. And towers were built with very narrow staircases. In fact, many of them are spiral staircases. You have to be careful going up. You have to be careful coming down. Because of the way a tower is constructed and the narrow staircases going up to the tower, one that's in the tower is protected. And a very small force can give protection to those that are safe in the tower. Our Lord is our high tower to protect us from the advance of any enemy and any force that would seek to prevail against us. He's my refuge. A refuge is a hiding place. A refuge is a place you can go where you cannot be harmed. My friend, no matter how difficult the circumstances of life are, no matter how strong the enemy may seem, we can run to the safety of our Lord God. He is our refuge. And the Bible says He is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. As a young child feels safe in the arms of a mom or dad that cares, we can always feel safe in the arms of God. He's going to hold us. He's going to care for us. He's going to protect us. He is my Savior. Perhaps you've noticed that David is using a particular pronoun as he goes through revealing God to us. He uses this personal program for my. It's not that he's your Savior. It's not that he's other people's Savior. He is my Savior. You see, God may be a rock, a fortress, a deliverer, a shield, the horn of salvation, a refuge, and a Savior, but that means absolutely nothing to you unless you receive Him as your own. You've got to enter a personal relationship with Him. You've got to walk with Him. Now, there are many wealthy people in the world, and when I think of wealth, I think of Bill Gates. Bill Gates has a little bit more money than most of us have. In fact, he has a lot more money than most of us have. He has billions of dollars. I can't think of millions. It's hard for me to think of thousands. Hundreds look pretty good, but he has billions of dollars. Now, you know what? It does me absolutely nothing, no good at all. It helps me not one iota that Bill Gates has billions of dollars in his account. But what if one day Bill Gates came to me and he said, Jerry, yes, we're on a first name basis. He said, Jerry, I've had all this money long enough, and I wonder if you would mind, if you would accept it. I want to give my accounts to you, and I want my accounts to be your accounts. You know, it wouldn't take me long to say yes. I would receive his offer, and then what had been his billions would be my billions. And yes, I would tithe. So can you understand there's a lot of difference in it being his billions and it being my billions? And you don't care about it being my billions. You want it to be your billions. Now, that really sounds ridiculous, because I really believe Bill has lost my phone number. And he might not do that, but that is exactly what Jesus has done. He lived a perfect life, laid down himself on a cross for my sins, took all of my sins away, was buried, rose again, and now all I have to do to have access to all that God offers is to receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Then all that is his, all that is in his account, becomes mine. David tells us who God is. Then he moves on to tell us of God's saving power. It's available to all that will call upon him. How foolish it is to know that there is a God and not to receive him and not to call upon him. David saw God as perfect and holy. He revealed to us how God is able to rescue us from all. In verse 5 it says, when the waves of death come, floods of evil men brought fear. When there's the threat of death, when there's the fear of the grave, all we have to do is to call out to God. He is able to help us in those times as well. On this side of Calvary, we should not have a doubt. We should immediately say yes to Jesus, who has defeated death, sin, and hell, and accept Jesus as our Savior and allow Him to direct our lives. And no matter what you're facing today, no matter how hard it is, no matter how bad it is, call out to God. Humble yourself before Him and allow Him to lead you to victory. If you know the Lord, if you're faithful to the Lord, you can call out to the Lord at any moment and He will hear you. And so David gives us God's revelation. We have God's righteousness in verse 21 and 22. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Does that verse hit you a little strange? This is David. Now, if you are here for the first time in our series of David, it may sound absolutely normal to you. But if you have been with us a while, you know that verse doesn't sound like David. David is not a guy that could say, God, I'm with you, I'm righteous, I'm clean. David was a liar. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. One of the realizations you have in the study of David is that David was a sinner just like you and I. David messed up a lot. Just like you and I. David didn't have any righteousness to talk about, and yet he's talking about righteousness. You see, back in verse 7, David cried out to the Lord in faith, and that's what changes the picture. David on his own was a rotten, no good sinner. And yet David cried out to God in faith. You might remember in Genesis 15, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He trusted God, God saved him and gave him righteousness. In this passage in verse 7, David is trusting God. By trusting God, now he has received God's righteousness. The only hope any of us have in being righteous is to accept Jesus and His account of righteousness to become ours. We're not righteous on our own, but we can receive the righteousness that He places in our account. David could call himself righteous because his sins had been forgiven. He was looking toward Calvary. We look back on Calvary. And it is only by what Jesus did at Calvary that any of us can be forgiven and any of us can be right with God. In Psalms 103, he says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward all who will fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Jesus took our sins and gave us His righteousness. Let me tell you how important that is. When it comes to going to heaven, only the righteous get in. You see, you got to be righteous to get in heaven. No sin will ever be allowed in heaven. So if we go on our own, we won't get in. One day Jesus is going to come back, and at that point, He needs to find you righteous. Why do you need to be righteous? So you can get in. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We will go in His righteousness, or we won't go at all. David is saying, I've got faith in God, He's given me his righteousness, and it is in his righteousness that I stand. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you accept him as your Savior, it is in his righteousness that you will go to glory. And then he tells us of God's resources. Verse 47, the Lord lives, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. To those in our music ministry, these words are going to ring very familiar because you've sung these words as David's psalms have been carried through the years. David declares it is God who will give him strength and power. In verse 33, he is the light for the darkness. He's my shield. Most of you remember Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, which I shall not want. Listen, if you are bowing down before God as your shepherd, you won't have to want for anything. He will meet all your needs by his abundant resources. My God shall accomplish everything you need by Christ Jesus in his resources. Believers, when we come to the Lord, confessing our sins, understanding who he is, understanding what he's done, we will have no recourse but to come down to verse 50 with David, where he says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. We need to begin to live lives of thankfulness to God. We need to lift him up in all that we are and all that we do. We need to praise him for all he has done for us, for all he will do in providing his righteousness that we might go to his heaven. If you're here and you're a believer and you know the Lord, but perhaps you're not walking with the Lord, this is the time to come to the Lord. This is the time to get back in his will. This is the time to ask him to forgive and to ask God to use your life. This is the time. If you're here and you've never invited Jesus as your Savior, God's brought you here so you can know Jesus. This is the time to say yes to him. In just a moment, you can walk down one of these aisles and just say, I want Jesus. We know what that means. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He will save your soul. This is the time. Will you come? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we ask now that you would move within our hearts, drawing us to decisions that we need to make. Father, in this room are some that have never met Jesus and they need to come to you today and be saved. Father, in this room are believers that are moving away from you, and today they need to come back to you and put you first and to thank you for all you have done. Father, make this a moment of moving closer to Jesus. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, you come.
To Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me now, I surrender. Oh.
Seated as our ushers come for a time of offering, remind you that our offering time continues our invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, there's a decision you need to make, you come and make it. We'll be here to receive you. And let's pray together. Father, we do pray that you would bless this time of offering. Continue to draw our hearts to Jesus, and it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few months ago, I had some ladies come to my office with an idea. They wanted to do something as an outreach ministry, and they wanted to do something using the skills that God had given them. And what you see here today is a result of that meeting. They wanted to, this is knitting, right? Yeah. Just asking, just trying to make sure. They wanted to be able to knit what you see before you, and a hat, and something that could be used as a ministry. Now, if you go to any of our facilities that do chemotherapy, you will see people wrapped up as tight as they can because the chemotherapy, quite honestly, just takes all the heat out of your body. And so as a ministry, they wanted to do this as a gift, and perhaps also individuals that might be going through dialysis, the same kind of thing, or you may know of someone in this situation. And they wanted to do something and to put the wordless book along with it. And when they shared this with me, I thought, well, you put the wordless book, and not knowing anything, I said, well, you know, it'd be great if you could put the colors of the wordless book in what you were doing. And they were way ahead of me because they put the colors of the wordless book in each hat. And this tells of the dark color tells of man's sin, and we're separated from God. But Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sin, and the crimson or the red tells that. And he washes our sin. If you'll receive him, he washes our sins white as snow. Then we have the peace of God. We grow with God, and we get to go to heaven, which is the glory of God, which is the gold color. And so they set out to make these, and they did so. In fact, just this past week, a group of ladies gathered, and they put in these little tags that says Handmade with Love, Northside Baptist, and it has our webpage address here. And so this morning, we're going to dedicate these, and then they will start going out, okay? And I'm going to ask, I know nobody wants to really come down front, and so I'm not going to make you do that, but ladies, if you had anything to do with this ministry, would you please just stand for just a moment? If you sewed the labels in, if you knitted, if you bought yarn, whatever you may have done, if you would just stand for just a moment. And we have others, I know, some who are not here today. But would you remain standing while we pray over? There are 100, if I'm correct, 100 of these. And the thing that I'm truly most excited about is we had people that wanted to do something that was good, but they wanted to do something that was good that got the gospel out. You know, and that's why we're here. And so what a great blessing. And I thank each of you for what you've done. But let's go to the Lord together. Father, we pray that you would bless now these shawls, these hats, Father, that they would be used to bring comfort to individuals, Father, at a point of physical need in their lives. But Father, in meeting physical needs, we pray that you would use them, that they might be used, Father, to meet spiritual needs, that men and women might be brought to know Jesus as their Savior as a result of these gifts made with love. Father, use them now for your glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, ladies. Would you give all these ladies a round of applause and appreciation?
Thank you, ladies, for your heart for the gospel, and I admire your skill, because I tried to do that one time. Knitting doesn't work for me. It's not that I look like a knitter at all, but anyway. Brother Jerry was talking about our big Sunday coming up on November 1st. To encourage you to come to Sunday school, and since you have an extra hour to spare that morning, at 8:15, our youth are going to be serving pancakes. They're $5 for an individual and $15 for a family of three or more. And those tickets are actually on sale at the information desk. You can go see Jacinda or Taylor or Joshua back there this morning, and they'll hook you up with some tickets. We're excited about that. This Tuesday, our glory group is meeting at noon in the fellowship hall. They have a special guest, Mr. Wayne Veal, who plays the guitar and will share how the Lord has healed and touched his